I mean, and so we see that the devil was leading her down this path, not just to the tree physically, but he was leading her down this path to get her to continue to entertain the things that he said. You ever been driving down the road and all of a sudden you just start, I mean, you're just driving down the road and all of a sudden you just start feeling just discouraged and down and out. You feel like you're nothing. You feel like you start feeling like you're a failure. You start feeling, you know what, I'm just, why am I even here? I mean, you know, I can't do nothing right, and I need to just quit this and quit that, and we may as well just give up on this and give up on that. And I mean, you just gotten yourself into this place, whether you're at home or whether in your car, and you just feel now absolutely disgusted with yourself. And the devil the whole time just whispering in your ear, and the whole time that he's doing that, we just entertain it. And the longer we entertain it and the more we listen to it, we then start to agree with what he says. And then we begin to think to ourselves, well, maybe I am a failure. I mean, you know, well, look at my life, you know. Maybe I am nothing. Maybe I'm not anybody. Maybe I haven't amounted to anything, you know. I mean, just really, I mean, look at myself, you know. And then you just start downgrading yourself and start beating yourself into the ground. And you start doing all these things that all begin with the devil just giving you a thought. And then the next thing you know, we just entertain his thoughts until he gets us where he wants us to be. So what do? You say, well, preacher, I'm not talking to the devil physically. Well, no, we may not talk to the devil physically. If you do, I encourage you not to. But we may not be talking to the devil physically, but I can tell you this. I think we talk to him when we continue to listen to what he's telling us about ourselves and about our life. Listen, hey, we know we're a sinner, right? We get that. But we also know that there's hope in Christ, right? And so when the devil comes along and he begins to spew all this nonsense into our ears, instead of entertaining his thoughts, instead of entertaining his thoughts and saying, maybe I am a failure, and then continuing on in that thought process until you get yourself to the point to where you're almost ready to commit suicide now, Instead of allowing the devil to get you to that point, what do? Well, when the devil shows up, you get alone with God. You get alone with God. The Bible shows us here, there in verse 2, that the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." And the devil initiated the conversation. For what purpose? His desire was to do nothing but just ruin her life. So if his desire is to get us to entertain his thoughts, I mean, because he's the one that started the conversation, and he is the one that not only started the conversation, but started the subject of the conversation. You get that? He not only started the conversation, but he's the one that started the subject of the conversation. He said, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every fruit of the tree of the garden?" He already knew where he was going with this. He already knew what he was doing. The devil didn't show up on the scene without a plan. He already knew what he was doing. He come right out, initiated the conversation, and initiated the subject of the conversation. I mean, he got the whole thing going. He got the whole thing started. For what purpose? To ruin their life. To separate between them and God, to separate Adam and her husband. And where was Adam during all this? I don't know. I mean, I don't know what he was doing, but he obviously wasn't there. And what I'm trying to get us to see right here is that when we're alone, and our marriage isn't strong, our family isn't strong, we can go further than that, when our church isn't strong, our community isn't strong, when our country isn't strong, we create such a gap that the devil can get himself in. And we'll create this gap, and the devil will come right in between that gap. And he'll come right in between that gap, and listen, how much room are we going to allow him to have? I mean, we want to try to protect our homes, protect our churches, protect our country, to do everything we can to keep ourselves safe. Well, we do all of that, but yet when it comes to our personal lives, when it comes to our relationship with our spouse or so forth and so on, we'll allow this big gap to be there. And the devil will just move right inside that gap. He'll do everything he can to wedge the husband and the wife apart and then choose one to pick and pry on. And then as he begins to do that, he knows, well, whether it's the husband or the wife, I'll pick and pry on him or I'll pick and pry on her, and then eventually I'll get the other one because that's the purpose. I don't just want her, I want him too. But I'll just go ahead and take care of her, and then after I take care of her, well, I'll probably have him. And so we see that the devil wants us to entertain his thoughts. He initiated the conversation. He brought up the subject of the conversation. He knew exactly what he was going to do. He had a plan from the very beginning of what he was going to do. The problem is, the mistake that was made is that she entertained his thoughts. She entertained what he said about the doubts that he had against God. Not the doubts that she had against God, but the doubts that he had against God. Because he said, "Hath God said?" She didn't say, "Hath God said?" He did. And so she entertained his thoughts about his doubt in God. And then the next thing you know, after she entertained his thoughts about his doubt of God, then she began to doubt herself. Why? Because she spent too much time with him. When the devil spoke, she listened. Whenever he tried to converse with her, she listened to what he had to say. And the longer that she listened to what he had to say, the longer she talked to him, the longer she walked with him, the worse and worse and worse it got. And so we can see that when the husband and the wife are not together, and the devil wants to do everything he can to get us alone, and when the husband and wife are not together, and of course the devil sees it, he understands, he knows everything that's happening, he knows everything that's going on, and so as he does everything he can to isolate the one from another, he then picks and pries and pulls apart as much as he can. And one of the reasons why he's successful is because we entertain his thoughts. When the devil comes along and he begins to tell you how worthless you are, then don't respond. I mean, when you're sitting around in the house one day, or sitting around in the car one day, or you're at work or wherever you're at, and you begin to feel like you're worthless, and you begin to feel like that you're a failure, and all these other things that then begin to flood into your soul, where do you think that stuff comes from? You think God dumped that into you? I mean, do you think God from heaven is looking down saying, you know what, I'm going to make them feel worthless today. I'm going to make them feel like a failure today. You think that stuff come from heaven? No. No, it's an attack from the devil. And the longer that we listen to him, and the longer that we allow him to communicate that kind of nonsense into our life, the longer that we entertain that, we'll begin to feel that way. And then we'll begin to think that way, because what does the Bible say? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Hey, the devil knows the Bible. The devil knows the scriptures. He can quote it better than I can. And so the devil knows, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And if I can get them to entertain these thoughts, if I can get them to entertain all this negative stuff about themselves, or even get them to entertain all these negative things that I want them to think about their spouse, or all these negative things that I want them to think about whoever, then he can continue to drive that wedge. He wants to get you alone, entertain your thoughts. Hey, when the devil knocks, don't answer the door. Amen. If he roars, you just sing louder. When he roars, you just sing louder. We got to make sure we don't have no communication, that we don't walk with him, that we don't talk with him. What did the Lord Jesus say? He says the devil, Jesus said that the devil himself, the Bible says that he is a liar, he's the father of it. And he came to kill, steal, and destroy. And where was Adam in the midst of all of this? And I think what we have to see here is how easy it is for the devil to lead those that we love away. Whether it's your spouse, whether it's your kids, or somebody you just really care about, or friend, whoever. How easy it is for the devil to wedge himself in, to come in unannounced, to come in unnoticed by many, to slide his way into the home, to slide his way into the family, to slide his way into the relationship, and to get in there unannounced, to get in there unnoticed, not to kick and make a stir, but just kind of come in and barely present himself. And the Bible shows us there in verses 4 and 5, the Bible says, "The serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." So now what's he trying to do? Now that he's got her alone, he's trying to get her to entertain his thoughts, and then he wants to change her opinion. He wants to change her opinion. He said, why does he want to change her opinion? Because if he can change her opinion, he can change the direction she's going to look. Because he's done told her, listen, there in verse 4, he says, you shall not surely die. God said, you'll die, but he said, you shall not surely die. And then he began to tell her there in verse 5 about how great things would be if she would just listen to him, and how negative God is, and how suppressing God just wants them to be in their life. That God knows that in the day you eat thereof that your eyes shall be opened and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. God just don't want you to have it. He don't want you to be successful. He doesn't want you to have everything that he has. What also I think's interesting is how he changes our opinion, is how he mixes truth with lie. There in verse 4, notice what he said. He says, you not surely die. That's a lie. He just come bold-faced, come out right out and lied. There in verse 4, he says, you shall not surely die. That was a lie, a straight, bold-faced lie. But then he gets to verse 5, and he says, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof your eyes shall be opened. Well, that's the truth. That did happen. It happened there in verse 7. And the eyes of them both were opened. And so you see how he mixed the truth with a lie? He mixed the truth with a lie to get her to change her opinion about God. Not necessarily wholeheartedly, but if I can just put in a little bit, to get them to change their viewpoint, to get them to change their opinion. If I can get them to change their opinion and their attitude about God, not that God isn't necessarily real, not that God's not there, not that God's not powerful, and not any of these things, but if I can just get them to change enough to where they'll look more in my direction instead of his. And so there in verse 5, he begins to fill her up with some truth after he's done filled her up with some lies there in verse 4. And so his desire is to change her opinion. The devil sought to change how she thought about God, how she thought about life, mixing lie with truth. Because he knew that if he can get her to change her opinion about how she felt about God, then she would turn more to him. If I can get her not to look towards God anymore, and I can get her to focus more on what I'm saying instead of what God's saying, if I can get her to focus more on what I want her to do instead of what God wants her to do, I can drive that wedge between her and God. And if I can drive that wedge between her and God, I can drive that wedge between her and her husband. Because we understand this, of course, the old elementary scale is you have God on the top and you have the husband on one side and you have the wife on the other. And oftentimes the husband and wife that feel totally separated, totally alone and away from each other, and they have no idea if there's ever even a possibility of reconciliation. But when they find out that the closer they get to God, the closer they get to each other, things begin to change. But the devil wants to do everything he can to keep us away from God. And if he keeps one away from God, he can keep us all away from each other. The devil only needs one of us. Out of the three, the devil only needs one. If he can keep one away from the other, then he has successfully kept us away from what it is that we desire in our life. And the Bible shows us there in verse 5. He says, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And they did. Not only do we see he wants to change their opinion. Of course, we kind of covered this already, but to appeal to our weakness there in verse 6. The Bible says, and when the woman saw the tree was good for food, the lust of the flesh, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, the lust of the eyes, and a tree desired to make one wise, the pride of life, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. And so the devil appealed to her weakness. He knew what it is that would grab her. He knew what it is that would get a hold of her. And where was her husband this whole time that she's walking with the devil? Where was she? Where was Adam this whole time that she was communing with the devil and walking with the devil? Where was the husband? Like I said, I'm not saying he was doing something sinful. Of course he wasn't. I mean, we understand that. They hadn't partaken of the fruit of the tree yet. Sin hadn't came into the world. He wasn't doing anything sinful. He just wasn't there. Just wasn't there. And the fact that he wasn't there, aided in the fact that his wife was going to fall prey to the devil's scheme, to his plot. But what I think is interesting is this, is in the very same text, we see there in verse 6, the Bible says it was a tree desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof, and she did eat. And the Bible says, as she did eat, she gave also to her husband. Well, where in the world did he come from? I mean, all of a sudden, Adam shows up on the scene. Here she is, she's eating the fruit of the tree, whatever it is. We always call it an apple. We don't know what it was. But here she is, she's eating the fruit of the tree, and then Adam shows up on the scene. Can you imagine what he's thinking in his mind? Honey, what are you doing? Oh, it's good stuff. It's great. And here she is eating of the fruit of the tree. Adam shows up on the scene. And I imagine he's probably thinking to himself, what in the world's going on? What's happening? Isn't this the tree that God said that we shouldn't eat out of? And he's just kind of watching this whole thing. And she's like, honey, this stuff's good. You got to try it. But you know who I noticed was missing in all this? The devil wasn't there anymore. You know why? Because he already did what he came to do. He showed up on the scene to ruin their life and then he left. Because that's what the devil does. He showed up on the scene to cause a stir, to make a mess, to ruin their life, and then he left. Because that's what the devil does. Look at the fruit of the tree. It's so glamorous. It's so good. You'll enjoy it. You'll love it. And there she was partaking of the fruit of that tree. There she was enjoying herself and eating it and having a good time. Her husband walks up and then she leans over. Honey, this stuff is great. You gotta try it. Hey, you say, why in the world would she offer that to him? Hey, I don't think she meant any evil intentions. I don't think she tried to harm him by any ways, any shape or the form. But I do see this. I do see how easy it is that whenever we're enjoying sin, how it is to get others involved in it. How when we're enjoying our sin and how we think, oh man, the fruit of this tree is so good and I just love it and it is so great, you have to try it. How when we're enjoying going against God, we want other people to enjoy going against God. How when we're eating of the devil's fruit, how we want everybody else to partake of eating of the devil's fruit. I don't think she meant any harm by him whatsoever. I don't think she was trying to kill him. I don't think she was trying to hurt him. I don't think she didn't love him or anything like that. What I see here is a person who has now succumbed to sin. She walked with the devil too long, listened to the devil too long, and the devil got her exactly where he wanted her. And then when she grabbed a hold of the fruit of the tree and she began to eat and partake of it, she saw that it was just so wonderful that she had to share her sin with somebody else, even if it was her husband. And I tell you what, the devil can get to any of us. Husband, wife. I mean, the shoe can be completely on the other foot right here. And we can see how when we want to give these things over, that sometimes we give these things over to people that we love and it's going to hurt them. I mean, she was going to give the fruit of this tree to Adam, and when she gave the fruit of this tree to Adam and he partook of it and ate it, sin came into the world, and it completely destroyed everything that we see today. I mean, completely altered and changed everything, separated us and God. And she offered that to her husband, to the one that I'm sure that she loved, to the one that I'm sure she looked up to and that she respected and honored in her life. But she shared that with him. I'm just trying to get you to see that any of us, all of us tonight, are susceptible if we're not careful. If we allow ourselves to get along with the devil and we walk with the devil and we allow ourselves to entertain his thoughts in our mind. His thoughts in our mind. His subjects in our mind. You ever think to yourself, why in the world am I thinking about this? Lord, help me get that out of my head. Where do you think that came from? You think God put that there? No. Who started the subject of the conversation? The devil did. He brought it up. He put that in her mind. He put that in her head. He was the one that was talking to her about that. Listen, when the devil starts walking with you, you start walking with God. And when you start longer, you start walking with God, the devil don't like that. He'll leave. That's part of what the Bible says in Peter is submit yourself to God and resist the devil and he'll flee from you. So when you're alone and the devil gets along with you, you get along with God and the devil will leave. The Bible shows this right here in our text. Not only did he want to change your opinion, but he was appealing to their weakness, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, all three ways that sin comes into our life. And she succumbed there to all three. And all of a sudden, he shows up, but he showed up. But when he showed up, she had already partaken of the fruit. She'd already ate it. When he got there, it seems, when he got there in verse 6, the Bible says she took the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also to her husband. Now, whether or not he got there and saw her pull it down and start eating it, or whether he walked up and she was already eating it, regardless of the fact, she was eating it and then she shared it with him. And so we see here that whenever she started partaking of this fruit and she gave it to him and he ate it, the sin came into the world. The Bible says there in verse 7, the eyes of them both were opened and they knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together, made themselves aprons, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden to cool the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord from among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Why was God saying, where are you at? Why was God saying, Adam, where art thou? Why did God even have to say it? Because when there in verse 6, instead of Adam saying, honey, you know, I can't do this. This is what God said. Instead of Adam standing strong in his faith, he like all of us. You say, well, if I was Adam, I wouldn't have ate it. Yeah, you would have, and I would have too. But we see that Adam was there, and instead of him saying, honey, I can't do this. I can't go in this direction. He took the fruit and he ate it. Why? Was it because he loved her so much? Possibly. Very possible. I love her so much and she's doing this and I just got to... What I want you to see in that is this. How the devil can take one of you, husband or wife, either one. How the devil can take one of you and get you into sin, and how the devil can use that sin in their life to bring you in there with them. And I tell you what, it's hard to follow. It's hard not to follow people that you love. It's hard not to follow people that you love. Because if you love them, and that's the direction you're going, you find yourself with this inner struggle and this battle within yourself, and you begin to think to yourself, am I going to go or am I going to stay? Am I going to follow them in that direction that they're going? Or am I going to stay right here? What am I going to do? Adam, he should have said, honey, I can't do this. This is something that God said that we're not supposed to do. But instead of doing that, for whatever reason, out of love or whatever it was, he gave in and he followed her. And when he followed her, because he was first and God created him first, whenever he ate the fruit of the tree, sin came into the world. And now here we see Adam's missing again. Not only was he missing from his wife, but now he's missing from God. Not only was he missing when his wife needed him, but now he's missing whenever God needed him. What I'm trying to get us to see tonight is men as well, is that how important it is that we are involved with God and involved in our relationships with our husband and our wife. how involved we are, that we are there for each other, that we are each other's support, that we are each other's backbone, that we are helping each other to be that firm foundation in our life, that we are doing everything we can to give comfort and peace and support and all these things we can to each other. Because whenever we stop doing that, when we stop doing that for each other, what happens is that the devil begins to find that gap in your relationship or church, whatever it is. He finds that gap and he wedges himself inside that gap. And once he gets in that gap, he then splits and divides and he makes both parties think that life is completely over now and nothing can ever be reconciled and we're all done and it's history. Whereas God wants us to see is if you'll just get closer to me, everything can come back together. So we see that Adam, he was separated from his wife. Now he's separated from God. Not only was he not there when she needed him, but he wasn't there when God was looking for him. So what happened to Adam? Where is he at? What's he doing? Well, at this point, he's too busy hiding in the bushes. He's too busy hiding in the bushes. So what I'm trying to get us to see tonight as we get ready to close, I think there's a lot of people tonight that are partaking of the devil's fruit. They're partaking of the devil's fruit. Husbands and wives feel like they're split apart. They're not together. They don't feel like they have any really relationship. They're just two people living in the same house. And so the devil's got them thinking that this is just the way it is and this is how life's going to be until death do you part. But you know what? I would say for the Christian, we don't need to be satisfied with that. We shouldn't be satisfied with that. And we shouldn't believe that. And we shouldn't think that. Because it is so important that the husband and the wife and the home have such a close relationship. That whenever the devil pops up and says to the wife or to the husband, hath God said, that the spouse turns around and says, you just need to shut your mouth. That's how close we ought to be. That when the devil pops up, and he begins to lean in to the ones that we love and say, hath God said? That we just automatically turn that we're so close that we heard what the devil said. And we kick him out. You say, well, preacher, we can't be there with him all the time. I just said, we have this thing right here. You know, Apple has this cool feature. It's called FaceTime. I wouldn't FaceTime everybody. You don't want to see everybody. But Apple has a cool feature called FaceTime. And when you have FaceTime, you know what that means? That means you may not be able to physically sit beside them, but you can sit there and talk to them just almost like they're right there. And I think it's important, as God's people, that we see how important our relationships are with God and with our spouse. Because the devil did everything here to separate both. Separate both. And the devil did everything he could to separate both because he saw how good it was and he don't like anything that's good. Anything that's worth having, anything that's good, anything that's profitable, anything that's a blessing. He doesn't want you to enjoy it, doesn't want you to have it. And so now we find both of them hiding in the bushes. And there in verse 9, the Lord God called unto Adam and said to him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And I think their devil has got a lot of people at this point right here where they're just afraid. They're hiding in the bushes. They're afraid. They're hiding in the bushes. They're afraid to come out. The devil's done split them up. He's done caused his damage. But I think that the Lord wants his people to see that, you know what, I can mend this thing back together if you don't try to do it yourself. Because see, there in verse 7, their idea to fix this thing was to sew fig leaves together. That's not God's plan. What's going to, you know what happens to leaves after a little while? They turn brown. And then after they turn brown, you know what happens? They fall off. And that wasn't a pretty sight. So don't try to sew fig leaves to yourself and let the fig leaves dry up and fall off. You'll be embarrassed. I just want us to see that, listen, the answer to man's problems is not man fixing it himself. It's God. And God's trying to show them, listen, you're trying to fix this thing yourself and it's not going to work. You can try to fix this thing yourself, it's not going to happen. Y'all have to get close to me. And when you get close to me, you'll close in that gap. And the closer you come together, the smaller the gap, the less availability that you give the devil to come between you. Whether it's you and your spouse, you and your church, you and God, you and whatever. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this evening. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight, Lord, as we learn some valuable lessons from the book of Genesis. And Lord, I pray that it was a blessing to people's hearts, and Lord, they take it and apply it to themselves and their lives. And that God, as we prepare to leave and go our separate ways, Lord, that you would keep us safe. Lord, we pray that you would just bless our night and help us all to sleep well. And when we wake up in the morning, that we all feel rejuvenated and ready to tackle the world. And Lord, I pray that you'd give us a new sense of victory when we wake up in the morning. Lord, help us to see that it's a new day. It's a new day. And whenever the devil decides to show up, whether it's that morning, at lunch, or evening, or any time in between, Lord, help us to get along with you and walk with you. Help us, God, not to entertain his subjects. Help us not to entertain his thoughts, because if we do, it'll take us somewhere we don't want to go. Lord, help us to be a blessing to each other. And Lord, I pray that you bring us back to our next appointed time this week. And in this we ask in Jesus' name, amen.